The question today is, what would you consider a home? Well, it's not so much, the answer, of course, to that, it's not so much what I consider to be a home is what we find in God's Word. And we've dealt with many services on the series on this home. We have the tapes and the CDs available. We'd be glad to send them to you if you'll just make contact with us. I think it's a net message that's needed today about what a home really is, what we consider to be a home, what the Bible considers to be a home. As we think about a home is consists of a mom and dad, in a sense, the husband and wife, and of course later there may be children. But a home is like a triangle. Now, folks, the home is not the building. Many people drive down the road and they'll see a beautiful house. They'll say, my, what a beautiful home. It's not a home. That's the house. It's the place where the home is to dwell. It's like a church. The church is not, the building is not the church. The church is the people in the church. So the houses you see are not homes. They're houses in which the unit of the home is abides or dwells. Now, a home is to be like a triangle. In other words, you've got a completed figure, I guess you could say, with the three corners of a triangle. And you've got the husband and wife. And so many people come together as husband and wife. And whatever the third part of that triangle is, that's what constitutes, or at least what a so-called unit of togetherness constitutes is what really brings them together. Now, many times, the third part of that triangle is just lust. And when lust is fulfilled, then the so-called triangle or the so-called home is broken up and divorce sets in, and mom goes this way or husband goes this way, the wife goes another way. But yet, you need God as this third part of that triangle. And any to have a real Christian home, God needs to be the third part, mom and dad, or at least husband and wife to begin with, as the part of that home is concerned. And if God's there, then you can have what we would refer to as a Christian home. But there are some things that really that God says in His Word constitutes a home in that sense. And that's what we consider to be a home, what God constitutes a home. In other words, a home has to be organized right. The organization of the home, we said, first of all, has to be established by the Maker. And that's the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam was formed and placed in the garden, God said, you can take care of the garden. That's what He put him there, to tend the garden. And He also, as He put him there, he said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Now, you realize something, when God put Adam in the garden there, and he was alone the first part of that sixth day. He was alone, but then we find that what happened was that God came to the place and said, it's not good that Adam be alone. He needs a helpmeet. Now, the word helpmeet doesn't just mean a mate, even though it does mean that, but it means someone to help him, someone to meet him, but the word really means a completer. And God instituted that. In other words, He established that that home, that first home there in the garden. Because, and by the way, it's not this thing of a home being established or being right and in Bible order is not something that's a New Testament tradition. Even though it was in New Testament time, it's not even a Hebrew tradition. But the home was started by God, instituted by God, established by the Maker, and He performed the first ceremony of the first couple. And set up a pattern for us to follow that example if we're going to have a home. And 4,000 years later, Jesus showed by His presence in Cana of Galilee that the marriage was right. In other words, the union of man and woman as they come together. So God instituted that. God organized. It's established by Him. In other words, God's the one who declared it. He said, it's not good that Adam live alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. A completer, and it was God's decision. In other words, he, man thinks he knows when he needs to have a home, when he needs to leave the nest and go out and get married, I guess you could say. But remember, many times that's all that is lust, and to fulfill the third part. Of course, it's better to fulfill it in marriage than it is outside of the marriage ceremony, if you please. But God's decision. He decided when Adam needed a wife. In other words, when was it? When he said, it's not good that you be alone. And he decided why Adam needed a wife. In other words, he didn't need a wife because he loved her. A lot of people say, well, I want a wife because I love her. You see a girl and you think you love her. But listen, she wasn't around for Adam to love at that time. And so, therefore, we're mixed up in our philosophy today. We think the reason for getting married is love. No, but that's not the Bible reason. You see, in the Old Testament time, the dads arranged marriages, if you please. In other words, they arranged. They would pick out the boy's daddy would pick out the girl, and they would get together with the daddies and decide that my boy, will marry your girl. And there wasn't any decision in the boys and girls about that. You see, it's possible to love the wrong person if love was there, but you see, you need to get the right one, and that's the one God wants for you, and that's why if mom and daddy's where they need to be, both parents are, both the children are where they need to be as far as God is concerned, they'll find God's leadership and God's will in that, and then they'll have a home that would honor and glorify the Lord. And so, therefore, you don't marry because of love. You could fall out of love, you marry on the basis that God says when and God says why. You see, God saw a need in Adam that self could not fulfill, and he said it's not good for Adam to be alone. So he not only needs to know the God's decision of when Adam needed a wife and why he needed a wife, but who he needed. Now, as we said in the Old Testament time, daddies picked them. But you know what? You and I don't have enough sense to know who needs what, but God does. Only God of heaven, who can see our tomorrows better than we can see our yesterdays, can decide for us who we need to marry. You say, but there's no one else for Adam. Well, that's true. You're catching on pretty fast because, you see, there's nobody else for you either than the one that God chooses for you. And I believe that. And so it was God's doing, if you realize that. As far as he put Adam to sleep, he performed the first surgery, he produced a spouse, and he brought them together. He didn't take the bone out of his foot where he could walk on her, he didn't take it out of his head so he could boss her. He took it from his side, close to his heart, so she could stand by her man, and they could together be as one in the work of the Lord. Now, this home is established by the Maker, but it's entered by matrimony. In other words, the Bible says we need to come together in matrimony. Now, we're living in a day when shacking up and trial marriages and common law marriages are in the majority, I guess you could say. But folks, that's not Bible. In fact, the Bible calls that adultery. The Bible says that no adulterer will enter heaven. Now, I know God will forgive any sin. I understand that. But if you continue in that lifestyle, you won't make heaven. But now we're living in a day when marriage, so-called, is about done away with. But listen, marriage is still sacred and honorable in the sight of God. And you think about marriage, marriage really is a leaving and a cleaving is what the Bible even says there. Cleave means to be welded to. It means to be glued together with unbreakable glue. And I want to say this, there should not be a leaving until there's a cleaving. In other words, if you're not ready to cleave, you're not ready to leave. And nowhere in the Bible is there mentioned an apartment lifestyle for a young lady especially. In other words, if you're not ready to leave, you're not ready to cleave, you're not ready to leave home. You need to stay with mom and dad. I don't care if you're 26 years old. I'm talking about if you're not ready to leave. Now, I know sometimes there's a sense in which there's some young men that's ready to go out on their own, but yet they've not found the one to cleave to. They're ready to cleave, but they've not found the one to cleave to. And so, therefore, just because you get 18-year-old don't mean you're out on your own. And by the way, Bible calls every unmarried person a child, and they're in the household of mom and dad, and they need to stay there in that home. You need to do that. You see, you need to understand if you're not, you stay put till you're ready to leave and cleave. And so we're thinking about what the Lord said. Now, when we talk about the established by the Maker and entered by matrimony, we're talking about a miracle of marriage, and it is a miracle. You see, when a person is married the first time, God performs the ceremony, and that applies to sinners, and that applies to saints. Some say, well, I didn't know what I was doing when I got married. Well, you may not have been, but you still, God performed the ceremony, and you're still married. And God honors that marriage by performing a miracle. In other words, he made the two of you become one, as Adam had said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and they twain became one. And so there was a ceremony. God brought her to him and presented her. And if you bypass a ceremony, you're not scripturally married. And there was a commitment in Adam's life as far as this home was concerned. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You see, marriage takes place at the ceremony, not at the marriage bed. He said, now she's bone of my bone. In other words, that was at the ceremony, not that night at the marriage bed. And in John chapter 2, Jesus attended a marriage, not a wedding. He attended a ceremony, not a marriage bed. And so, therefore, they became one flesh. And, of course, the mystery of the marriage is the fact that, and truth's hidden in that, by the way, and that's concealed by the Spirit. And so, therefore, it's been hidden for 4,000 years, but it's a type of salvation. Bride and the groom, in other words, through ceremony and commitment, pictures the eternal security of the believer. When that's all we are, when we are saved, we're just espoused to our Lord. And one day the marriage will take place. And that's like dad and mom bringing those two together. So the Lord doesn't want his type marred so as to keep the real is what he wants. And so therefore he says, as far as the home, what's considered to be a home, that's one that's organized by the Lord. In other words, it's organized right. It's established by the Maker. It's entered by matrimony. And folks, it ends in the mortuary. That's where God's home's end. In other words, now I don't want to hurt anybody when I talk about that, but that's really true. Anything short of this is sin, but it's not an unpardonable sin, nor is it an unforgivable sin. Now this is the apex, what we're talking about, what God wants the home to be like. And that was the original design. I'll deal more with that again in another broadcast on this. But I consider to be a home, I consider to be a home what God considers to be a home. And that is one that's organized right, once established by the Maker, one that's entered by matrimony, and one that ends in the mortuary. That's what God said a home is. And that means that triangle has the husband, the wife, and also God as the third point of that, and that home will stay together and picture eternal security of the believer as far as the type of salvation. And that's what God considers a home to be a home. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.